Hey, Mujer, it's Micaela, host of the Fearless Mujer podcast. What is the Fearless Mujer? It is a space for the mujer who ever felt rejected, misunderstood, and without a seat at the table. If you are ready to renew your mindset, let go of old versions that no longer serve you, and you're ready to be inspired to fearlessly pursue the dreams on your heart, then I invite you for a virtual cup of cafecito. You can listen to the Fearless Mujer on Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, and wherever you podcast.
What's up, Scaredy Cats? We hope you guys are having an amazing day today. Our names are Sway and Liz, and we'd love to welcome you to the Scaredy Cats podcast, where we talk about all things scary, such as true crime, paranormal, and dark history, conspiracy theories, and so much more. So if you find any of those things interesting, all you have to do is add us to your favorites and sit back, grab some snacks, and relax as we talk about some of the most bone-chilling and mysterious stories on planet Earth.
And for the horror movie lovers, we also review the latest scary movie. And also, if you have any stories that you'd like us to talk about, feel free to send them in at our social media pages, and that's Scaredy Cats Podcast. And that's Scaredy Cats with the K, or you can also submit all your stories to the email provided in the description of this episode.
So definitely do that. And before we begin today's episode, we do want to talk about something that's incredible and amazing happening for the Scaredy Cats fans. We will be doing an upcoming event on October 28th at 1 p.m. at the Magic Valley Mall, where we'll be doing a live podcast story. This story is going to be about one of the most haunted dolls basically in America. Yeah, and it's like basically they said that like they want to know what would happen if they were to put this doll as well as Annabelle in the same room, mm-hmm. How much like crazy stuff would happen.
That would be crazy.
Oh my god, I'd be so terrified. So it is going to be such a great story, guys. So we definitely would love to have you guys there. So don't forget, it's October 28th at 1 p.m. at the Magic Valley Mall. We'll be doing the live podcast of Robert, and this is like the doll's name. Oh my god, I just know for a fact that I can't even look at his eyes right now.
Yeah,
that's how scary.
And the craziest thing is that when we were thinking about like an idea of what we want to do, obviously we want to keep it family friendly because it's going to be for everybody, and so we thought about, you know, let's do a creepy story on Robert the doll, mm-hmm. because it's family friendly. Not only that, is like the perfect spooky season vibe because it's almost when Halloween is. Not only that, right when we were thinking of this idea, so my little sister comes from school with mm-hmm. this new book that she checked out of the library, and she flips right to the page and it was talking about Robert the doll.
Yes guys, I literally creepy. I took a picture of it because I was like flabbergasted, because I was like, no way in heck were we just talking about this doll. And then his sister comes home from school, and then she literally flips on that page. Yeah. I was perplexed, but all I know is this story is going to be definitely scary. One mm-hmm. of the scariest ones that we've done so far. So please join us at the Magic Valley Mall at 1 p.m. on October 28th to watch the live podcast story.
And for those of you guys who can't make it, we are going to try to record it. So you'll still be able to, you know, listen to the live event if you guys aren't able to make it. Before we jump into today's episode, we do want to give you guys a warning. Today's episode is intended for mature audiences. It will contain graphic details about the crime scene. Listener discretion is advised. Alright guys, so buckle up because this story is going to be a very creepy one. Joe Roy Metheny was born on March 2nd, 1953 in Maryland, and was one of eight children. As reported by Joe later in his life, it wasn't, you know, that great growing up. He claimed that his father was an alcoholic and his mother was just rude and uncaring of him and his other siblings. Joe said that he spent most of his childhood moving from house to house, living what he referred to as foster families. But he also revealed that him and his siblings were never placed in the system. His mom would just like take him to random houses and pay these people to take care of them for long periods of time, which is so messed up. Yeah. When Joe was around 6 years old, he stated that his father passed away due to a car accident, and their mom would work two jobs and would hardly be home. Joe would later say in an interview that they were super poor, but he was happy to have a roof over their head and a bed at night.
Now, fast forwarding to the year of 1973, Joe joined the army when he was 18 years old. During his time in the army, he claimed to have been serving in Vietnam, but his mother would later come out and say he told her he was serving in Germany. We tried to look at some like records, and we really couldn't couldn't find anything, so it'll remain a mystery, but wherever he was stationed at, he admitted to being hooked on heroin and cocaine. Once he got back from the army, he said that he didn't contact any of his family members and that he became heavily addicted to drugs. At the time, he didn't have a home, so he would be living on the streets most of the times unless he found a place to sleep. He came across a homeless community which he would live in, and he said that they would do nothing but drugs. So with the money he would collect, he'd kind of just do the same thing with them. And during the 1990s, Joe became a very well-known guy amongst the homeless community in South Baltimore, which is where he was living at the time. Everyone knew not to mess with him due to his bad temper and his drug abuse. The interesting thing is that he actually worked as a truck driver for a while, and the workers described Joe as someone very dependable, well-mannered, and intelligent. And this is where he met a lady who was also an addict, and unfortunately, her name is unknown.
This next part was slightly reported, but Joe didn't speak on it much. But during an interview, he said that him and his lady ended up falling in love for each other and would later be married and have a child together. And then they bought a small trailer home where they would live in for the next few years. In the year of 1994, after a long day of work, Joe arrived at home late at night, and when he turns on the lights, he notices that everything was gone, from the couches to the beds to dressers. Basically everything inside the trailer was just gone, including his wife and his 6-year-old son. He decided to ask people who lived around him if they have seen her, and they weren't really much help. He tried contacting his wife and he had no luck. But then Joe would just go back to his normal daily life, and it was reported that 6 months went by and it seemed like he was just doing completely fine. One day when Joe went to go buy some drugs from the community he used to live in, he ends up finding out from one of the people there that his wife moved to the other side of town with another man and was working as a sex worker, and their child was taken away due to child abuse and neglect. How does this man know? Well, Joe's wife recently came to buy drugs and he overheard her talking about it. He also informed him that she would hang out with some homeless people underneath the bridge and they would just basically do a bunch of drugs and then just lay there.
Joe was obviously upset, so later that evening he heads over to the bridge and he sees these two homeless men sitting down, and he asks them, "Hey, have you seen my wife around here?" He described her to them and they replied, "No, we haven't." At this time, Joe was on heroin and he said that whenever he was on it, it would kind of make him feel like on edge and very angry, which is, you know, that drug typically does that to other people.
Yeah.
But after hearing this, he gets upset because in his mind, he believed that these men were the ones who sold her drugs and had relationships with her. So Joe leaves and comes back with an axe and murders these two men. He beheaded and chopped them up into pieces. He hid the parts in a bush next to him and saw a sex worker walking around. So he lures her over by offering her some drugs. And then he asks her, "Have you seen my wife?" He goes and describes her and she tells him no. So he decided to swing the axe and murder this lady, assaults her, and also chops her body up. As he was doing this, he heard a voice getting closer to him. So he put her body pieces into the bush and ended up being another sex worker who saw him dragging a part of the body, but Joe would quickly turn around and strike the other lady with an axe and murder her as well. It's just crazy because this guy literally just went on a killing spree.
Yeah, within like a matter of like, I would say at least 5 minutes, he just murdered 4 people. Because in his mind, he thought that these people, they knew where his wife were, they just weren't telling him.
And he was just angry. I mean, like, drugs does some crazy stuff to people.
Yeah.
And I mean, not only that, like, it gives them an insane amount of strength.
Yeah. And I forgot to include a picture of this guy, so I'll show you after, because this guy looks like something out of somebody's nightmares.
Oh my god!
Like, he looks,
I don't
like,
know if I want to see the terrifying. Picture, really? That's crazy.
But like we said, after he murders his fourth victim, he notices a fisherman down by the water. He was unsure whether this man saw him killing these people, so he thought to himself, "I gotta kill this guy too." So he walked down to the water and grabbed a steel pipe that was on the floor and said hello to the fisherman. And once he turned around, Joe hit him in the head with the pipe and killed him instantly. Before leaving, Joe leaves half of the homeless man's body on the bed but buried his head nearby. He then wrapped the two other victims in cement and drowned them in the lake, and the last one he just left in the bush. He reported to have cleaned up the crime scene very well and left after hearing some people coming. So then after this, he just returns to his daily life, and 2 weeks later he would be found linked to the murders. Police would then arrest him and charge him with the murder of the two men he first killed. At the time, police didn't know about the 3 other people, so he was in jail for a whole year awaiting trial, and he would later have all charges dropped due to the lack of evidence. And you'd think he would change his ways after being locked up for a year, but as reported by him later on, he said that he found killing to be something he enjoyed, and he believed his passion in life was to kill people.
That's so, like, I don't know, gut-wrenching. Yeah, I don't know, that's weird.
That's so, like, that's terrible. Like,
it is.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
But after show got out of jail, he developed what he called hunting technique. So he would go to spots where he knew lots of sex workers would be and lure them into his trailer by telling them that he had drugs in there. After he had the ladies in his trailer, he would strangle them and then assault them after they were dead and dismembered their bodies. He would chop them up into small chunks and would then trim off the fatty pieces of the meat, take out the bone, and once he was done cleaning the meat, he says he would store them in bowls and plastic bags and then store them in the freezer. Which is like, this process of this guy doing all this, that's just ugh. But the extra meat he would trim off, and he said that he would bury them in shallow graves. And keep in mind, guys, that at this time Joe was still working as a truck driver, but he ended up thinking of an idea that would make him extra money on his days off. So he decided to open up a hamburger, pulled pork, and roast beef stand on Main Road with lots of traffic. He created a sign, brought all the stuff, and set it all up, and lots of people ended up stopping by and trying his food, and they loved it. He had people complimenting him about his food and sandwiches, and he made a good amount of extra money from it.
But little did they know they were eating his victims. Oh my gosh.
That makes me feel sick. Like that show, Dolores Roach, like where they were cooking, like killing people and cooking into empanadas, and they were like the most famous empanada place over there in New York. Ugh.
Later, police that arrest him and were involved in like his whole like case, they were later linked to be those same police officers that stopped by his stand and ate lunch there.
Oh my god, so that would like make me puke.
The police officers that arrested him literally ate his victims.
It kind of makes you second guess about like random stands.
Yeah. This dude like literally is like, in order to make extra money and get rid of this meat, I'm just gonna make a little stand and then just sell food. But yeah, like we said, little did they know they were eating his victims. He would take all the frozen meat he had of his victims and he made pulled pork. He would then season it to make some roast beef and burgers. He reported later on that he tried it himself before selling it, and he said human meat is so delicious, tender, and has a unique flavor. I mean, I'm not gonna get into like describing it, but he like said how he would kind of transform the human meat into roast beef and how he would make it into hamburgers and stuff like that, like have the texture.
That makes me not want to eat any of that.
It's so gross. Like, yeah, it was really graphic how he described it, so I didn't want to put it in. And for weeks, Joe had his stand open. Truck drivers, like I said, police officers, and people from the community were all gathering around to eat his food. He later then ended up running out of his victim's meat, and people tasted the difference in the texture, so they would ask him, like, why did you change it? Because the other meat, the victim's, was way better. So the following night, he starts luring in sex workers back into his trailer, and once inside, Joe hit this lady in the head, and she falls to the ground, and as Joe turns around to grab his axe, the victim ended up managing to get herself up off the ground and ran out the door. This lady ran all the way to a main road, flagged down a truck driver whom she told the entire story to. He then took her to the gas station where she contacted the police, and Joe said later in the interview that he knew it was over. Once he saw her jump his fence, he said that he just sat there in front of the fence waiting for the police because he knew they were on their way. And he was right, because shortly after she called the police, they arrived at Joe's trailer and arrested him.
He was then taken down to the station and he let it all out. He confessed to killing the two homeless men. He also confessed to killing the other three people at the bridge and how he got rid of the bodies, along with numerous sex workers he lured into his trailer. He eventually was found guilty and was sentenced to death, but then it was overturned later on and was given two life sentences instead of a death penalty. And on August 5th of 2017, Joe was found dead inside his jail cell. Joe's last words were, "The words, I'm sorry, will never come out of my mouth. For they would be a lie. I am more than willing to give up my life for what I have done and have God judge me, send me to hell for eternity." End quote. That is like really, really dark.
And it just shows how evil this dude was, because he didn't feel no remorse for what he did.
I wonder whatever happened to his kid.
I mean, I'm sure he wouldn't want to be like nowhere. Yeah,
I really hope that you're
involved with this.
Yeah, like I hope his kid ended up living like a happy life wherever he was at, because this guy was crazy.
Or hopefully he never like found out who his dad was. After all he did, I think it'd be better off for him to like never know who his dad was. But some facts that we're going to talk about real quick is, Joe's mom came out and said that his whole hard upbringing story was a lie.
What the heck does that mean? What do you mean?
So, like, you know how he said they were poor and all this stuff? She said that it was a lie, that he was lying about that. It seemed like he just came from a rough environment.
Gosh, what a freaking psycho.
The night of all the murders, he said it was a very busy night for him. That's the way he described it to the police.
Hey. I wonder how his interactions were with people who would come to his stand to buy food. Like, how did if they ever got anything off about this guy or something? I don't know.
But this is where I was telling you. Joe was 6'1 and weighed over 400 pounds.
Yeah.
He was a big guy. I'll show you a picture right now since we're talking about his height.
Whoa!
Is this dude right here.
That is really, really scary. Oh no, I would not mess with that guy.
Like, just imagine, like, this guy coming at you. Like, that's terrifying. God.
I'm scared.
Yeah, but then he told the police that one thing he regretted was not being able to kill the mother effer who he was originally after, which was his ex-wife and the man she hooked up with.
That's really scary. Thankfully, he never found his wife.
Yeah.
I hope wherever she ended up, it was in a better place than that. Yeah. Because this guy was obviously insane. And, like, it just took one little thing to, like, you know.
Trigger him.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, maybe this guy was already delusional and kind of psychotic to begin with. That this thing kind of set him off. And this is probably the person he always was. So, I think it's kind of good that maybe his wife and his kid left.
Yeah. That will be the end of today's story. Thank you guys for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and follow us on all social media pages at the Scaredy Cats Podcast. And that's Scaredy Cats with a K.
Definitely don't forget that on October 28th at 1 p.m., we will be at the Magic Valley Mall doing a live podcast story. So, definitely join us. It's going to be so much fun. And like we said, it'll be perfect and just in time before Halloween night.
And also go watch our latest YouTube video, which just dropped yesterday. But if you enjoyed today's story, leave us a review letting us know what you loved about it. We would really appreciate it. But without further ado, we are out.
Peace.